Okay, Kate, here is my big question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What song would you do your burlesque number to?
My sexy little dance.
Yeah.
I know a few weeks ago we were talking about our favorite Halloween songs, and I think the answer is the same for me, and it is Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
And would you dress as a werewolf and then transform into a beautiful woman? Would
Yeah,
that be your
but also
routine?
the other real answer is, oh, man, I don't know. I feel like, man, I feel like a woman would be fun too.
Man, I
I think
feel
the
like a
problem
woman would
is,
be great. Yeah.
I feel like a big problem is that there's no way I could take it seriously. Like, there's just no way.
No. Well, I
So.
don't know if burlesque really needs to be serious.
No, but I think I would just be like really, I don't think it would be like funny on purpose. Like, I think I would just be so miserable
Sure.
that I'd try to ham it up and just be like, everyone would hate it.
I mean, not to get too much into this week's episode, but I'd argue that this burlesque number was too serious. And that was one of
And
the issues with
two
it.
from 1959.
Yes, and two from 1959 and not from 1955.
Nope.
We know the difference.
Yep,
We
I know my
know.
numbers. All right, what's your burlesque song?
That is a great question that, I didn't think of an answer to before getting on this podcast. So now I'm gonna make up a some sort of fun answer. Okay. How about this? One of my favorite bands right now is called Cheek Face. They're the best. They're like a talk singing, postmodern, herky jerky power pop band is how I describe them, post punk. They have a song called Everything Is Fine that is about coughing on your doctor and coughing out everything is fine, and the doctors cough out everything is fine, and everybody's getting a cold and everybody's coughing it on each other. And it's also about throwing matches in the dumpster fire, thinking it's going to make the dumpster fire better. Maybe I would do a fun, sexy burlesque to that song.
Here's my take on this.
Yep.
Not a fun answer for the audience because they don't know the song.
Yeah, but now they're gonna have to get into the song. Because
We'll see.
one of my roles as a host of this Riverdale podcast is Tastemaker.
Right.
And I thought it would be a great moment to bring up a super, super fun band that everybody
I
should
feel
get
the
into that
same.
Riverdale fans would love.
I feel the same way about Shania Twain, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, and Shania Twain, I hope that people know that song. That's a pretty well-known song.
Yeah, I hope so. But you know what? If someone out there doesn't know Shania, Canadian Princess Shania Twain,
Yeah,
now's the time.
Queen of Canada, get into Shania Twain.
Now's the
And
time.
let's get into that theme song. Welcome to another episode of XOXO
XOXO
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
Today we're tackling chapter 133, Stag. But before we get into it, any big Riverdale news that we need to talk about as this series comes to an end?
I think we only got one big news story this week, and I don't know that we need to talk about it because we'll talk about it next week.
Yes, because next week, Josie McCoy, one of our favorite underutilized characters from the extended Riververse, is. This is a different podcast. This is a different guy.
The
From
RVU.
the extended Riververse, Josie McCoy. She's coming back for episode 17, chapter 134, A Different Kind of Cat. And it looks like she's doing some sort of beatnik dance in the still.
Ooh.
Yeah, so pretty exciting. Pretty excited about that. But honestly, I am excited because I thought the last episode with Josie was great. So
Yeah.
totally happy to see her one more time before the series ends. That being said, chapter 133, Stag. What did you think? How did you feel about this one, Kate?
What a treat.
Did you like this one?
I feel like there was one storyline that was like my favorite thing, and
Yeah.
then the rest of it was like, okay.
Yeah, that's fair. I really liked most of this episode. I had very low expectations, knowing sort of what the plot was, like knowing what it was somewhat about.
Yeah.
And then the way it was handled was actually super, super fun. And then I felt like it lost some steam in the final act.
Yeah.
Like there were some moves that were made by certain characters where I was a little like, really, this is what we're gonna be doing here. But there was some stuff that was really fun. I mean, we got started with a portion of Howl that was like right off the bat, Allen Ginsberg's Howl.
Yeah, and then they talked about the Beats and said, "Who are the Beats?" Which is, of course, most famously the Doug Funny's favorite band,
Yes, Doug Funny's favorite band,
the
Ooyoo
Beats.
Killer Tofu.
Yeah, I need more
But
allowance.
more music that people won't know about that we're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, I guess our audience like skews a little younger, doesn't
Yeah, exactly.
it? Doug's a great show. You should check out Doug, not just the Beats, but Doug,
Yeah,
and
if
not the
Doug
Disney
is
years, the Nick
available on
years.
streaming somewhere, Doug is very charming. It's a lovely
Delightful.
show for children.
Yep.
Yes, great animation.
Yeah.
Anyway, good scene from Miss Grundy.
Yeah. This Miss
Yeah.
Grundy redemption storyline.
Yeah, it's just nice to see her just be a nice teacher.
Yep.
Have you ever drunk tons of coffee and stayed up all night until the sun rises with your friends, Kate?
Not for like the sole purpose of like chilling. But I
Sure.
feel like I really think the only time it's like happened on purpose is like Del Close Marathon, which I don't really want to admit to.
Oh, the Del Close
Well,
Marathon.
yeah, that's the only
The
time I really
24
hate.
hour, or the thir what is it, the 72-hour improv marathon that never
Yeah,
stops.
I really hate not sleeping.
Yeah, it's no fun.
Yeah, so not
Yeah,
a whole lot of experience with that.
I sure did a whole bunch of crummy 5 in the morning shows at Del Close Marathon in my halcyon days.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. The only thing about this plot point that I did think was interesting is I think it drew a direct parallel to sort of this more modern or more acceptable, more discussed phenomenon in the 2020s of people taking hallucinogens and chatting and staying up all night and like having these connective times with each other. This felt similar to me, but of course, usage of hallucinogens in the 50s in small town America, not very common. However, you could certainly substitute hallucinogens with caffeine and get a similar effect. So,
Yeah, you know.
yeah, I thought that was kind of fun. Then we got to these girls are looking through a Betty Page pinup
Do you?
magazine.
I had forgotten about Lizzo. And then I saw her and I
Oh.
said, wait, what's this character's name? And then they said Lizzo and I said, oh, right.
Yes, that's right. Lizzo, but not the famous singer Lizzo.
Right.
This
Just
Lizzo,
some girl named Lizzo.
lesbian Lizzo, because they couldn't name her Lezzo. They had to name her
Oh,
Lizzo. Yeah. So this is the beginning of a trend for this episode where these kids are pretty well, they're pretty seasoned for 16-year-olds. Like the fact that they have this working knowledge of Betty Page, I was like, wowie, wow, wee, wow. Like, wow. And then I feel like that sort of kept happening because then
Yeah.
we get to this locker room scene where Julian is like, I scored a dirty movie, I scored a smoker. Great, that's fine. Do we have to go back and explain who Betty Page is?
It's fine. I don't, it's
She's
fine.
a pinup
Just Google
queen.
it.
She's a
Fucking
50s
Google
pinup
it if you
queen.
need
She
to.
was really beautiful,
Yeah.
gorgeous, and did a lot of kind of like bondage stuff and dominatrix stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so Julian has a dirty movie. He has a smoker. And then like Okay. So then Julian, like, just out of the open, is just like, this isn't like your wrestling movies you like to watch, Kevin and Clay. And it was like, is this just an open thing now that like Kevin and Clay are running around watching like erotica? Like gay
It was,
erotica?
and like Julian's the one that's hip to
Yeah, and Julian's like, okay, guys, like I was kind of scandalized by
Yeah.
so many of the other episodes have done such a good job this season discussing how gay people traversed a very dangerous and difficult world in the 50s. And then this episode was sort of this outlier that was just like, time for fun for all the gays,
Yeah.
like, yeah, didn't totally love that.
Because then time for fun for all the gays, this photo shoot between Cheryl and Tony is I just this comes up like two or three times a year for me internally. Where do teenagers buy their sexy lingerie? Like where
Certainly.
I
At
even now as
Mary
an adult,
Andrews's dress shop, perhaps.
even as a full adult, I'm like, that's like expensive and I don't know what I'm gonna use it. Like and at least now I am at a point in my life where I'm like, they just want to see my boobies. Like, it doesn't matter what's covering them. But I am like, where did you, like, why do you have this? Where did you get it? Like, you're a child. What?
Yep,
So.
this is sort of a Riverdale conundrum that's never been answered because they.
It's a teen media conundrum.
Yeah, that's true. That happens in other
Yeah.
media with portrayals of teenagers and all that kind of
Yeah.
stuff. Yeah, absolutely. The other thing about that scene was how excellent that they were able to perfectly frame all those photos.
Oh, what beautiful set dressing.
Yeah, they did a really good job. I'm really pr they're very creative. I'm super proud of
Yeah.
them. Then we get to this whole Comics Code subplot, which I kind of explained already in a previous episode, so we don't need to get into it too much here, but they're
Yeah.
basically just mirroring exactly what happened to EC Comics.
Yeah, and it's once again one guy having that much influence over a whole publishing company, just like one dude, and it's like,
Yeah,
yeah.
well, they made it that was like, oh, okay, well, they're all, this is a Comics Code that's going to be national for all the different comic book companies, and that is similar to what happened, but it happened after a majorly publicized national, like communist witch hunt style Senate hearing
Yeah.
that involved a bunch of, politicians talking to and interviewing a lot of comic book publishers and writers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it wasn't just one guy talking to a high school principal.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously it's Riverdale, so they've made it sort of this microcosm situation, which is fine. I'm fine with it. Like, it's all good. I thought it was an interesting way to explore all of this. I still think that Principal Featherhead and Dr. Werther's are somehow involved with the Milkman,
Yeah.
which is still unresolved, but we'll see how it
Do you
all
think it
goes.
will ever be resolved?
What if it doesn't get resolved? What if it's
Because
just
there's
like,
only
and then
like,
Midge stabbed that guy, the
because
end.
there's only like three more episodes.
There's
Four.
only half an episode left. They're not even showing the whole episode. They're just it's this is it. This is it. It's
Is
gonna
it?
be like an improv game where they go through the episode in half the time and they speed through it and talk really fast.
I think it's
They're
really
gonna do an
cool
Italian.
to end a series that you knew was ending on a cliffhanger and not like a high quality cliffhanger like The Sopranos, but just like dropping the ball. I think that's really creative.
I would not put it past this show for that to be what ends up happening. This show has very often admitted we're writing a murder mystery, but we don't know who the murderer is.
Yep.
But we'll see. I mean, I'm pulling for him. I'd love a good series finale for Riverdale. I'd love it.
I'd love it.
I know. Can you
I don't
imagine?
expect it, but I'd love to see it.
I know. We're gonna cry regardless. But yeah, there's four episodes left now. We're really
Yeah.
getting to the end here. We'll see what ends up happening. Yeah, so okay. Then Veronica, I need to bring this up because I thought it was nuts. Another, I mean, this episode really was unhinged, but in a way that I thought was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So Veronica at the Palladium with Kevin and Clay. It's like, you're always allowed to watch your wrestling films here, as long as you clean up after.
Oh my God, I know.
I know, like, I was like, oh,
Oh.
like, God, they sure are very open with each other for being a bunch of teenagers. Like, that's some real innuendo there. We know what they're talking about.
Real, and they got it. It's a
And
whole big
what
theater,
they're
and the
talking
mess
about
is
is
enough for her.
if they accidentally spill a soda.
It happens.
Yes.
You gotta mop it up, it gets sticky
It gets
from the
sticky.
sugar, not other stickiness, purely from
That's
the sugar from
right.
the
The sugar
soda.
from the soda. That's right. Oh my God. I was like, this show, this episode is wild.
Because then we see the stag film and it's starring Polly with the
Okay.
best
Yes.
babe.
But before we get to that, because I totally want to address that. Just the fact that here's this male environment with all these dudes whooping and hollering about seeing a
The
porno,
porn,
a
yeah,
porn. And
together.
well, this is what used to happen in the 50s, which gets dealt with in a really fun way later on, but we'll talk about it. But then, like, Veronica and Betty weasel their way in. What a difficult environment for literally everybody involved. Ah!
I feel like Kevin and Clay were the only ones in that situation that were just like cool with it.
Well,
Like,
yeah, Kevin and Clay, who are removed from this world of straight people nonsense, of all of them, wow. So then it turns out that Polly is, one more thing I want to bring up about Betty and Veronica being there. It's obviously hinting towards the fact that both of them have some sort of attraction to women, which is fine. If I were Betty and Veronica, I would have been standing up at the projection booth away from the men, still being able to watch the film and maybe sneak a kiss. Because, as we discussed last week, if those two don't end up together by the end of this season, it is queer baiting and we're not into it. Yes. Anyway.
You want to talk about Polly's great stage name?
Yes, polyamorous.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Perfect.
No notes.
Overall, how did you feel about Polly being in this episode?
I feel like for, like I was starting, I was like, okay, fine. And then Veronica was talking about the performance she was going to give and called her a chanteuse. And I said, oh
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
and then like from then on out, I was like, I didn't need this.
Don't you feel though, final episode with Polly, last time we're going to see her in the series, most likely. Wasn't it? Remember last season? Do we remember how Polly was treated? She was a sex worker. It wasn't treated properly. It was mean. And then she was murdered, which was uncool and inappropriate. So, hey, here is the character transmuted through to the 50s doing another type of sex work, and very, very much in control and very happy and thriving. And this felt like a nice course correction.
A nice send off for her. Didn't
Yeah.
need the song, but
Well, yeah, the song sucked and was the worst, but we'll get to it. The song
we'll get
was
ill.
so bad. Oh my Lord.
I felt like from here on out, almost all of the Archie and Reggie scenes, they were having more fun than I've ever seen them have in their lives.
100%. And I was thinking about their entire plot line, and I certainly, if listeners want to disagree with me on this, that's totally cool. I didn't feel it was actually queer baity, and I'll tell you why. Like, I have some reasons. Those sorts of sexually charged moments between mainly teenage boys, especially in a repressed society, certainly happen a lot. And the only, certainly I'm speaking from personal experience, although as a queer person, it's a little different than someone who identifies as straight, but certainly like boys kind of left to their own devices. However, I certainly wanted to see them kiss and fool around, just because that would have been so fun. But it's okay. It's fine. It seems like the show in general is having less sort of sexy stuff happening like that anyway. So it's fine.
It
Right?
felt like, yes, it felt like they did a take and they cut, and one or both of them looked at the director and said, "Is there a way to have our eyeballs pop out of our skull and make an awooga noise?"
Yeah, absolutely. But the
He said that
tension,
with sincerity.
the tension between them in those scenes was wonderful, and it was wild.
It was so
It
fun.
was awesome. Yeah, and the two of them
Oh.
were having a blast.
I wrote, "I love this scene."
Absolutely. Yeah, and it is in a lot of ways, to the extent he could get away with it, it is the queering of Archie that RAS has wanted since the beginning. And here it is, kind of this is what we're gonna get. And I would, be more than happy to see Reggie and Archie run off into the sunset together. But, another thing too about this is much more fun to see them getting along and having these moments and this bonding together, as opposed to like the boring fights. This has been the best use of Reggie this whole season, other than the scene where he was eating chips with Hiram, because that
He's
scene was
always best at
lovely.
eating chips. He's
Yes,
always best
he's
at
a
eating chips.
wonderful chip eater, and we love that
Yeah.
about him.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I liked that the jungle music was back.
I didn't notice that.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah.
good call. Good
Jungle
catch
music is
there.
back again.
The jungle music is back. Absolutely. So then, okay. So Cheryl and Tony, two things. This sort of lost me just because it was so unbelievable to me. Thing number one, they're like sitting on the bench outside of school looking at these racy photos, thinking that no one else would see these like 8x10s. I was like, oh my God, what happened to this nice portrayal of queer life in the 50s that we saw previous? The other thing is, then Cheryl is so nonchalantly like, I'm gonna paint us, because paintings take 5 minutes. Like,
Can you take 5 minutes and she lives in a safe household for that?
exactly. So, like, when the painting gets slashed at the end by Penelope,
Yeah, no, like, no shit.
is anybody surprised?
Yeah.
Literally anybody. I mean, I feel bad for Cheryl, but I think it's a real dumb thing. She could have been painting in the chapel, and then she could have hidden the painting. She,
I
you
want to
know,
say too,
during
yeah.
sessions.
It's I want to say she worked hard on it, but did she? Because it took like no time.
I know she was like, la la la, brush, brush, brush,
Yeah.
photorealistic painting, all
Easy
done. Yeah.
peasy.
Oh man. What did you think about the fact that Polly was hunting down all of the copies of her stag film until there were none left?
Sure.
I know, I was like, wow, that sounds like a dis awful,
Sounds like
disastrous
a,
chore to do.
yeah, I guess it like really annoying. Like in this day and age, you just can't do that. Like it will just exist in perpetuity. There's digital copies. I guess like it is possible for her to get all the copies, but seems like a hassle.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how many copies are in existence. With a lot of
Yeah.
those types of movies in the 50s, I do believe that like they would only strike like five copies, and the
Yeah.
men that would buy them would spend tons of money, and it would be worthwhile for the people making them. So, like that is somewhat believable, like to my understanding. Yeah. Then we had a Gypsy Rose Lee name drop, which made a lot of sense. Because then they do Gypsy later, but I thought that was, I liked that they were sort of dealing with these. I just like everything in this show from this season that's just like being like, hey, this is something that has existed for a long time. This sort of entertainment for people and sec being sexualized, and you know, this isn't a new thing. And these are issues that we've been dealing with for a long time in our society in a way that where there's always a conservative element and a liberal element, and they're always having a fight ski, you know? Anyway. All right. I'm looking at my notes because we've been talking a lot about a lot of this. Oh, what a beautiful wrestling film. It was so arty.
Cinematic, yeah.
Yeah, so cinematic. Wow. Oh yeah, okay. My next plot thing. The projector from the Babylonium has been gone all week, and Veronica is now out of business.
Did she only have the one projector?
I guess she had another projector that she was able to lend to them.
Yeah.
I was thinking that they were going to sneak into AV Club and have some sort of all like interaction with maybe Dilton or Jughead about it, you know? But
Yeah.
no, it
No.
was just, yeah, anyway.
And then I know they weren't gonna, Archie and Reggie weren't gonna share smooches, but like, I do like kind of remember they went back to the same hooker Kevin went to, but also I love that she's just like so insightful.
She's so what?
Insightful.
Well, yes, I think that this is once again an interesting portrayal of a sex worker where maybe they had some long, hard thinks over the season break and were like, you know, we really can do better. And then
Well,
setting it in the 50s, a lot of sex worker women were a lot of men's first experiences, and they did have to guide them through. Because the men really had no understanding. So
And
they,
even
yeah, go for it. Sorry.
now, a lot of women who get into sex work turn into doing companionship work, which is really just hanging out with lonely people.
Absolutely. Actually, my friend Lane, I'm gonna do a shout out to a friend of mine, my friend Lane Quetaris, who's just a phenomenal comedian and is also a sex worker, just did this show. That is currently at the Edinburgh Fringe, that I loved. That was about her life doing this kind of work. And she does discuss how so much of her job is just being a companion, someone to talk to, and how that's part of the experience that these male clients are buying from her. So that's really, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's complicated. It's not just the way that. You know, it's portrayed sort of as these, like, you know, in this way that's immoral or whatever, you know? So, yeah, so I just want to reiterate that for a pair of like old farts, or as we Jews would say, alte kakers, which is Yiddish for old shits. Pardon my Yiddish. I really think Principal Featherhead and Dr. Werthers are such good adversaries for this whole season and are so different than Hiram was with what his goals were, which got very tiresome very quickly, right? And also super different from Percival Pickens, who was just a stand-in for Hiram. This is so different, and they're playing these characters so well. And, like, considering that this is about what kind of stories you can print and not print, and that it's really a lot of sort of theoretical ideas that are happening off screen, I really like this scene with Jughead and Mr. Featherstone or whatever the fuck his name is, you know, and these two sort of going at it and trying to negotiate this comics code. I thought it was cool. I liked it. Yeah, cool. Anyway,
Fun.
just shout out to that. Yeah, like actually fun, like engaging and didn't feel like boring, like we were things weren't happening on screen. Like this kind of felt action-packed, surprisingly.
And then we got a long, full performance of Rose's turn.
The Rose's turn number, which is wild and kind of, Polly, the actor playing Polly, she's not really dancing. Yep,
Yeah.
bad fit, square peg, round hole. It's a shame. This is sort of when the episode fell apart for me. And then Betty saw herself doing the same sort of work, and that's fine, totally fine. It's just, that was very hard how not good it was.
Yeah, and then now back Betty and Alice hate each other again.
Yeah,
It's
and Betty and Alice hate each other, and and Betty's like laying in a way where it feels unintelligent to me. Does that make sense? Like
Yeah.
she's laying in that's like, well, what do you think's gonna happen? And it's like, oh, cool, Alice is gonna slap her. And it's like, this is not surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then guess what happens? Penelope slashes that painting. Once again, not surprising. That being
No.
said, super pumped to see how Cheryl gets her revenge. I hope it's super grandiose. I hope she sets Thornhill on fire again. Fire,
Yeah.
fire, fire. Set everything on fire. I love it. Do
Yep.
it. And then we had that scene, just to put a little button on it, a little bow. Archie and Reggie watching the sun come up, saying, boy, it really is a wonderful thing to do. I mean, maybe they're happy because they both got laid. There might be a calm about them that has.
Yeah.
But then Archie says to Reggie, I love you. And Reggie says, I love
You
you.
too. Yeah.
That was amazing. So
Beautiful
nice to have
friendship.
on
Yeah. Just
this
nice
show.
to see in general.
Yeah, where did this come from?
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. I loved it. I really liked it. They're really killing this season.
Yeah.
And then last but certainly not least, we have this very steamy scene with Jughead and Ronnie. To be perfectly honest, this is working for me. I find it very sexy, the two of them. It makes a lot of sense with the way the two characters are being written. It is not as fun and wonderful and affirming as Ronnie and Betty would be. And if Jughead and Ronnie are endgame, that would be d stupid. However, was a fun way to end this episode. And we'll see what it means for the next episode, Chapter 134, A New Kind of Cat. Is
A
that what it's
different kind
called?
of cat, a
A
different kind of
different
cat.
kind of cat. Is that a reference to something?
No, it feels like it's just like cool cats doubled with Josie and the Pussycats, but I'm gonna look
Josie,
real fast.
oh yeah, look it up while I sing a song. Gonna sing a song while you look it up. Here's my song, I'm gonna sing. Gonna sing, everybody listen to Cheek Face.
All that came up was a list of cat breeds.
Oh, a list of cat breeds. Cool.
And
I hope they
then
list cat breeds in the next episode. That'd be a great moment.
the Van Halen album, A Different Kind of Truth.
Oh, probably not named after that because not really the same. Love it. Okay, so who's on your power list? Who's on your crush list? Let's hear it. I
Power
forgot to
list.
write mine, but I'm gonna do it right now.
Power list, I have in no particular order, Werther's, Betty, Veronica, and Julian. They did
Yep.
stuff.
And I just wrote down Featherhead and Julian.
Great.
And who's on your crush list?
Veronica, Archie, and Reggie.
Yeah, just Archie and Reggie for me, those two
Yeah.
little dweebs.
Little
Absolutely.
scamps.
Well, that was another short but sweet one. Sometimes it's easier to do these when the episodes are pretty good.
Yeah, it's weird how much shorter they are when they're good.
Yeah, it's less for us to rant and rave and
Yeah.
be little cats about. Maybe
Yeah.
we're a different kind of cat.
Oh, are we a
Oh.
domestic short hair or a? Let's see what else. British Shorthair, Maine Coon, Siamese. We're so many different types of cats.
I'm a Jellicle cat myself.
Oh. I'm
Anyway.
just a tabby.
Yeah. Thanks. What? Write in. What kind of cat are you? Write in. I
Yes.
want to know. Tweet at
I gotta
us.
know.
What kind of cat are you? I want to know. This is where we're at.
This Barbie is a cat.
This Barbie is a cat. And this dog is just Ken. Thanks to our wonderful editor, Angeli Mercado, just knocking him out of the park every time.
Killing it. Our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz.
That's right. And thanks to all of you for continuing to listen. We love you. Kate's about to sneeze.
Right there.
So I'm going to say a bye.
Bye.